Welcome to episode 287 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
There will be links with more information about today's topic on the show page, which you can find by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
Okay.
Not one word about computers.
that's not what we're doing, right?
No, we're doing spider silk today. Well, silk and spider silk and spiders and so forth. But before we get into that, I blame you, by the way, because you found an article about a dress.
Was it
the dress or was it that cape?
It was being displayed on a person, but I swear it's just a bit of fabric, right?
But before we get into that, a couple of announcements. This is the last episode this year.
Oh.
We won't be back again until January 14th.
I have all sorts of vacation coming up. This is great.
It's a little longer than I usually take for these holidays. Usually I do 2 weeks, not three.
Mm-hmm.
But we have things on the way, and we need to get some ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
We have some experiments coming in where you, the listener, may be part of the experiment.
Yes.
Which is all we're going to say until some more ducks are in a row.
Ducks are hard to organize.
So I needed a one-off topic for this episode, which I found on Monday. Took me forever to do all the research
for
today. Because I found a topic. Today. The preparation was actually grueling because I didn't look it up.
There we go. See? It's Monday, right?
I thought it'd be more fun to talk about if I didn't really know what I was talking about.
There we go. We're just talking circles, bunch of question marks. It'll be great.
Yeah, so I'm thinking spider silk.
Spider silk. Oh, yeah.
Because I don't really know. You mentioned you'd seen something that they made a whole dress.
Yeah, it was like the most expensive dress in the world because made of spider silk.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how do they make spider silk?
They're just figuring it out. I actually saw a different show on that. And the guy, because spider silk, I guess it's actually liquid when it's in their bum.
let's say their abdomen.
Okay.
And the back end, you know, the big fat thing.
And it's all about how they pull it out as far as what kind of silk.
You know, this actually jives with what I saw. Like, I saw them, they've been trying to get spider silk to work since the 1990s, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's when I bumped into it. And, you know, it's not like there's any shortage of spiders, but they had this one particular spider. We've determined that this web is the most useful industrial. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like you can go up to them like a cow. You
so
know?
They just finished telling you that they can't do a sweatshop full of spiders because the amount of silk they would get would be ridiculously small. It's like, here's your silk scarf. Your spider silk scarf. It took us 80 years.
That's probably why that dress was so expensive.
And I knew they talked about and showed a close-up of the back legs of a spider pulling the silk out of its spinnerets, that the tension was involved. Because they actually, they have different silk for different purposes, right? They make the silk for their egg sac. That's one silk. They got silk to carry the most of the weight on the web. They got the one they make that's kind of roundy. And they'll actually go through and leave little drops of goo, pretty much adhesive.
Yeah.
You know, and they keep talking about the wonderful properties of spider silk. It's supposed to be 10 times stronger than steel and half the weight.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody looked at the adhesive? How sticky is spider glue? Ooh,
we could make a new rat trap, or mouse trap, rather.
We'll eat like kings. The spider says, it's from a Far Side cartoon.
That's right. That web at the bottom of a kid's slide.
Yeah, yeah. If this works, we'll eat like kings. I think of that every time I walk out the front door and hit a spider web. Here are ambitious spiders.
I know.
So I'm wondering how they're manufacturing this. Where do they get the chemical in the first place? And then how do they put the right tension on?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm hoping I'll find out, and it's not all behind a wall of patent pending.
Yeah. Actually, I believe you're going to have some trouble with that.
I don't really even get the story of regular silk.
Mm-hmm.
Some sort of caterpillar, I guess. But I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that was quiet.
Another wonderful segue. Thank you for coming.
But now we're done, right?
So I found out about silk. Mm-hmm. Earliest evidence of silk existing in human culture is 8,000 years old.
Is this the worm silk?
This is proteins in the worm silk found in grave sites.
Oh, weird. Oh.
The guess is that the deceased were wrapped in silk garments.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah. So, long time.
Yeah, no kidding.
But silk is a generic term for this thread stuff that lots of little many-legged critters make. The cultivated silk.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from a moth. It's a nondescript moth. Nothing pretty about it, right? It's not even a butterfly.
Yeah, yeah.
But one female can lay up to 400 eggs.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
So they put these eggs on a sheet of paper,
mm-hmm.
wait for a week or two,
mm-hmm.
and then they hatch into caterpillars.
Right.
The larvae,
mm-hmm.
who then eat mulberry leaves for the next 7 weeks
okay.
or so, and increase in size by 10,000 times.
Wow.
Well, they eat pretty much continuously, too. I ran into one factoid that said if you want 10 pounds of silk,
mm-hmm.
you need a little bit over 100 pounds of mulberry leaves. It's almost a 10% return material-wise. It's not that bad, but it's not going to be cheap either.
Holy crap. So you can't just farm the worms. You need to farm the mulberry.
And I don't know anything about mulberry bushes other than the name? All around it, the monkey chased the weasel.
I have forgotten that entirely.
Blast from the past.
Anyway, then they put down little framework of sticks
mm-hmm.
to give the caterpillar something to climb up on. They climb up on them, and they cover themselves in their cocoons.
Okay.
And then the cocoons are sorted according to things like color and weight and so mm-hmm. forth.
Okay.
Some of them are kept to make the next generation. The rest of them are tossed into boiling water.
Oh, no. Okay.
This is for several reasons. For one thing, it kills the critter inside the cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they get all the way to adulthood and break out of it, they break the threads. We yeah, don't want
hey,
that.
We need these.
The other thing is that one of the proteins that make up caterpillar silk is sticky.
Okay.
And the boiling water takes away most of that.
Oh.
Makes it easier to tease the cocoon apart.
Mm-hmm.
The cocoon turns out to be made of a single thread.
Uh-huh.
As much as a mile in length.
Wow. Just wrapped over and over and over.
Huh. And it's about 1/100th of a millimeter.
Okay.
So it's not thick enough to be used industrially. What they do actually is they tease apart as many as 50 cocoons at once.
Mm-hmm.
Pass all the threads through a hole, mm-hmm. Often in bamboo, and then spool it up very gently on the other side. This pushes them together, and the leftover sticky protein will fuse them into a single strand, and you get silk thread.
Holy crap. Are these old ladies with tweezers? I mean, who's teasing it apart?
I don't know. And how do you tease a cocoon exactly?
Oh, wow.
You're not as cool as the other cocoons.
I'd rather make them watch.
But that's all caterpillar silk, or silkworm silk, or whatever you want to call it. You know the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's spider silk.
Okay.
Caterpillars, they have modified their salivary glands to make their silk, and it hardens in the presence of air.
Okay.
Spider silk comes out of the back end, mm-hmm. out of what are called spinnerets,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't harden in air. It hardens after being mechanically pinched.
Oh, by them?
Yeah, by going through the duct and for being pulled on by the back legs.
That's right.
There have been spider webs since at least 140 million years ago.
Yeah, wow.
That's the earliest preserved web fragment we have. It's in a chunk of amber from the early Cretaceous. And it even has some insects caught in it. There's a couple of beetles, a cricket, some flies, a wasp or two.
Mm-hmm.
Spiders themselves showed up as much as 360 million years ago, oldest fossils,
okay.
recognizably a spider, including spinnerets. That's all the way back in the Devonian.
That's quite a gap between the web and the spider.
Yeah, and the fossil ones they're seeing already have spinnerets, which suggests they were doing things with silk long before that chunk of amber caught it. Modern spiders have between 4 and 8 spinnerets. They come in pairs. I'm getting different numbers when they're like, how many types of web does a spider make? I've heard 6, I've heard 7.
Are spinnerets different than the legs? Because I know they use their back legs a lot, but they're different, right?
Yeah, they're hanging off of the abdomen.
Oh, okay, okay. Just making sure, because, yeah.
Just making sure.
Yeah, and it's something mechanical. In fact, one of the first successful experiments in making an arachnofiber was just using a syringe with the chemicals inside of it and squeezing it out.
Oh.
It did make a solid thread. Doesn't have anywhere near the magic mechanical properties of actual spider silk. But, you know, a step in the right direction.
Yeah, pull on it and it just breaks. That's not what I wanted.
It can be very strong, spider silk, but it's not necessarily as strong as the factoids you always hear. Yeah. There's lots of different spiders. They use their webs for lots of different things.
Mm-hmm.
You get some of these load-bearing cables that are almost as strong, tensile-wise, as steel.
Oh, okay.
But unlike steel, they stretch as much as 10 times their own length without breaking.
Well, that's handy.
Which makes them tough.
Yeah.
Which is the other mechanical property I'd never heard of before, and they call it tough.
Toughness.
It's a measure of how much mechanical disturbance a material can put up without fraying or splitting.
Are spiders the unit of measure?
this is 7 arachnids. The strongest web comes from the Darwin bark spider.
Wow, okay.
Which is a native of Madagascar.
Oh, okay.
And the females are about 1.5 centimeters in length. They're very tiny.
Hmm.
The males are like a tenth of that.
Wow.
But they make webs over streams and rivers. Spanning as much as 80 feet.
Are they catching fish?
No, they are actually hunting the insects that fly over the water.
Yes,
the only spider that's able to hunt that chunk of air.
That's a lot of distance to cover.
Yes.
A bit of web, yeah.
Yeah, and, 80 feet span, they get maybe 30 feet square total. It's a heck of a web. And this stuff is tensely stronger than steel or Kevlar. Tougher than both of them put together.
Again, just checking. I'm sorry.
I want to be sure. Job.
Tensile, right? That's if you yank on it.
Tensile actually is a measure of how much you can bend it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
But since spider fibers are so malleable, they usually test it by stretching it till it breaks.
Oh.
But, how do you separate that from the elastic test? I don't know. I'm not a material scientist.
There's whole papers written on it.
Well, this stuff obviously could have some very interesting uses. Ballistic protection, for example.
Oh, yeah.
But, so there was this cape.
That's right.
And they did not use synthetic fiber. They used actual orb spider web.
Mm-hmm.
Orb spiders also come from Madagascar.
What's something about them
and their tough spiders.
Exactly.
Excuse me while I extrude some chain.
You want spiders? Silk, we're off to Madagascar.
Anyway, it took 80 people.
Mm-hmm.
1.2 million spiders and 4 years. This is not exactly an industrial process.
Oh, man. This is why it's the most expensive bit of silk right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's unique. It took forever. But yeah, give us some time.
They are working on various synthetic versions. I have a couple of links to YouTube videos about some materials that are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Long ago, they started putting genes that make some of the proteins in spider webs into other critters.
Oh, yeah.
Including silkworms.
You're doing it anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. They've done that. They've even grown in alfalfa.
Oh.
They've been trying to use some plants that have naturally fibrous structures anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The idea being that, hey, extract the fiber. And then, the rest of it you can throw on the compost heap or feed your cows.
Okay.
One company has managed to make an artificial fiber that has about the same mechanical properties of a spider.
Okay.
But it's not spider silk. It's actually a silicon and cellulose. in a gelatin matrix with some sort of self-assembling glue you together into a fiber protein.
This is totally artificial.
Yeah, it totally is. It's funny. It's got all this strength and flexibility. They've only managed to make a few millimeters at a time.
Oh, goodness.
They make a pile of goo. They draw the thread out of there, and they let it dry.
Mm-hmm.
Even when the thread is done, it's still 98% water.
Well, okay. So bake it. Wow. What do you do with it?
Well, they're working on trying to make, larger bulk ness.
Hmm.
I don't think cooking off any more water would make it any stronger. It might actually weaken it.
Hmm.
Another company is using bacteria to make some spider silk proteins.
Oh, okay.
And then after processing it, they're left with a kind of a white powder in the bottom.
Powder, nice, okay.
Okay, and then they've put it into the machine that spins it, which is all the video said. I'm thinking there's some proprietariness going on here.
This is why you want to give us money. Don't worry about the rest of it.
But they claim to have actually duplicated spider silk. Some shoes have been made. A watch band that was a limited edition from, I think, Casio, maybe? I forget.
Oh, okay, yeah. I believe Casio. Why not?
The company that came up with the spider silk are not interested in making products with it. They want to find people who make products to make products with it.
Oh. We own it. What can you do with it?
Again, one of the possible uses for this is making bullet-resistant clothing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I say bullet resistant because there is no such thing as bulletproof. True. All they have to do is go out and get a bigger gun.
Isn't the old, like the old silk, the worm silk, right? You get shot with an arrow and you're still shot with an arrow.
Yes.
But
I'd actually heard this factoid before it had, I should have let you finish. But yeah, I'd heard about this.
Yeah.
Where the arrow still hits you and it may still penetrate your flesh,
mm-hmm.
but it will not cut the silk.
Yeah.
So even if you've got a barbed arrowhead, you can bunch the fabric around it and pull it out.
Which is so much nicer to the body.
And in 1881, hold on a second, I got to check my notes.
First time.
A physician, George E. Goodfellow, in Tombstone, Arizona, had a lot of gunshot cases. I mean, this is straight up cowboys time.
Yeah, right.
People are shooting at each other left and right. He was doing an autopsy on a guy who'd got hit in the vest pocket.
Okay.
Where he had had a silk handkerchief.
Oh. Okay.
And it killed him.
Yeah.
He was dead, but the wound didn't bleed. When he went to go examine it, he found that there was a silk handkerchief stuffed in the wound. And he thought his friends had done that to staunch the bleeding, but he pulls it out and the bullet's still in there.
Hey, see, catch.
Yeah, two thicknesses of silk, and it stopped the bullet. Not enough to save the guy's life, but yeah, hey.
I mean, it's still in you.
Later on, he bumps into a guy who was killed by a shotgun blast.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes a point about his silver-covered, very heavy hat that didn't stop a pellet from going through his skull and hitting his brain.
Mm.
But around his neck was a silk scarf.
Yeah.
And inside that scarf were several shotgun pellets.
That guy's still dead.
Brought to a stop without even bruising, apparently. So there has been a lot of research. In 1891 in Chicago, a guy did a demonstration where his assistant strolled away, turned around, and shot him.
This is an experiment?
Yes.
I don't want to be part of that lab. Holy crap.
It was a bulletproof vest made entirely from silk.
Ooh.
And he'd found some special way of sewing it that took advantage of all of its mechanical properties.
Mm-hmm.
It never got off the ground because even slight sewing errors would render the thing useless.
Oh, crap.
The inventor was actually lucky to survive his own demonstration.
Oh, no.
But yes, presumably spider silk would be even better at this.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what happens.
Are we going to come back to spider silk?
No.
Past the new year? So we won't see what happens.
No.
The universe will see what happens.
They've been working on spider silk since at least the 1990s.
Yeah.
Give it another decade. We'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
But whatever we do next time, we're going to come back and do it again next year. Next time. See you then.
Bye.